It took more than half a century for Cheryl Brearley to be able to talk about her childhood due to anxiety and post-traumatic stress. In the early 1960s, authorities removed her from an abusive family and placed her in the care of Burnside Presbyterian Homes for Children in Sydney's North Parramatta. But as Ms. Brearley recalls, she was delivered into more abuse and mistreatment moments after being turned over.
And then just told me to take all my clothes off and then go in the shower and turn around and then just started whipping. Until I felt this burning that I couldn't hold on anymore and I just fell to the floor.
Cheryl Brearley says children at Burnside were treated like inmates and controlled through abuse and fear. Any perceived transgression was treated harshly, she says, like the time she told a supervisor she did not like her food.
And then she just went in a roar of anger and said, "How dare you?" And just grabbed the spoon and just shoved the spoon to my mouth until the plate was finished, until I was gasping for air. I couldn't even breathe. That's how thick this porridge was. She just kept pushing in until I ended up just vomiting all over the table. I don't know if I got it on her or whatever, but I think I must have, because then she went into this rage of anger and just grabbed hold of me and pushed my head into the porridge on the table.
Over the past 5 years, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse has investigated 116 institutions. They include orphanages, schools, churches, parishes, groups such as the Scouts and organised sports. About 8,000 people, including Cheryl Brearley, have shared their stories through private sessions, and 1,300 witnesses have given evidence at almost 60 public hearings. A University of Sydney Law School Professor of Socio-Legal Research and Policy, Judy Cashmore, has been involved in research with the Commission. She says when the hearings began in 2013, the scale of the abuse was not yet evident.
I'm surprised at the stamina, too, of the commissioners and the number of people who came forward, and particularly men and older men who came forward to tell their stories after, for some of them, decades, some of whom had not told anyone before. So it gives us a little bit of an insight into the prevalence. We know that many people don't tell anyone, so what we're seeing is what's being reported. And what people coming forward, what we don't know is the people out there who haven't told and don't intend to tell.
Another New South Wales survivor who gave evidence in private session, Daryl Higgins, regularly uses the social support service Forgotten Australians. He says he is still haunted by the day he was taken away by the Catholic Church on his way home from a game of street cricket.
We were playing cricket and came in for lunch, and there was a truck pulled up outside the house. There were two nuns, three policemen in uniform. They picked up me and my two brothers, put on the back of the truck and taken up to Kingumba, which is on the Central Coast. I was only, it was basically on my fourth birthday. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
Daryl Higgins says singing helps him deal with the physical and mental scars he has carried since the age of four. He says he was also abused by a priest and later abandoned by his foster family, but still managed to turn his life around.
One of our friends said once, and I did know that he knew about my past, and he must have known, because he said, "You've done well, you're a survivor." And I thought, oh, yes, I guess I am, actually. Yeah. So I think what's happened in that period of time is a realisation that the authorities, the government, the even docs and things like that, got no idea what we went through. And I don't think they want to know. They just don't want to know this. Push it aside and wait for the next election, we'll get elected again. That's anything they're interested in, yeah.
He says he remains sceptical about whether there will be the political will to prompt lasting change after the Royal Commission. But he says he hopes it will give him and the thousands of other survivors some closure after decades of trauma. At the University of Sydney, Professor Cashmore says the recommendations will need to be followed up with substantial cultural changes.
I'd like to see some real changes in the way the criminal justice system deals with these matters, and particularly how a culture, and particularly the cultural change in some institutions, and we're yet to see that in significant change in some of those institutions.